From DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Stick with me for a couple of minutes. Coming up then, I will give you some more news on how Dog Nation season kickoff this Thursday at the Kroger and Cumming gets bigger and better. Really excited about that. Also, as I told our video audience a moment ago, I'm sort of excited today about turning the page off of, frankly, yesterday was kind of a gloomy show to do. You know, I mentioned this, I think, a day ago, that some shows are just more fun to do than others. Yesterday, not my favorite show to do. I don't like talking about injuries to five-star running backs, but I do like talking about elite players who have a chance to make big impacts on the upcoming season, or at least show you a glimpse of what they might be able to do in the upcoming season. And Kirby Smart, with some of the words that he said yesterday or on Saturday, kind of gives us a bit of a foreshadowing of that. I almost mentioned this on yesterday's show, but I didn't know on the heels of Zamir White's injury if people were even in the mood for any good news yesterday. I think today maybe they are. And let me start with this. Channing Tindall, Quay Walker, two big-time linebacker prospects. You know, that notion of the next great linebacker at Georgia, that's a question that gets asked a lot as we head into the 2018 season. Both Walker and Tindall in their own right have kind of been given that opportunity here. A lot of fans have that expectation on them, and they were both sort of high-profile recruitments, big winning battles for Georgia towards the end of the 2018 cycle. And on Saturday, Kirby Smart was asked, now I got to make sure I give the right context for this. He didn't sort of offer this up unsolicited, but he was sort of asked to sort of talk about how the interior linebacking core was playing out. And he kind of gave, you know, a lot of context about, you know, it not being settled, that you still got a lot of competition going on with a lot of the veteran players that we know about and have kind of talked about a lot. But he did add this as an addendum, that two of the younger players who are still trying to learn their way and feel their way around this program, Channing Tindall, Quay Walker, guys we talked about a lot heading towards signing day, Kirby Smart has apparently seen some from them that makes the hype these guys receive when they committed and then signed with Georgia seem somewhat justified. Here is Kirby Smart with a little compliment the way of Quay Walker and Channing Tindall. If you're a UGA fan, you'll like this.
I know this, the two young guys, they don't know what to do. They make busts, they make mistakes, but Channing Tindall and Quay Walker are fighting tooth and nail because, number one, they can run and they'll hit you. It's two qualities at linebacker. Can you run and will you hit somebody? They have done that well in camp. They don't know our defense completely inside and out, but we're not looking at week one. We're looking at week four, five, and six. Two young guys are really competing.
I think that's a really fascinating clip from Kirby Smart, and not just because it kind of fuels the flame for what we want to do from time to time, which is hype up some of these incoming freshmen. I think Kirby Smart also gives you a little bit of a window into his thought process there in terms of what practice is like this time of year. Remember, Kirby has been very clear, and this has been true for years and years and years, that for him, it's not spend 5 or 6 weeks getting ready for week one or even week two versus South Carolina. It's spend this time working on yourself, getting better for, you know, the second half of the season, end of the season, years to come. This is Georgia working on Georgia, not Georgia working on Austin Peay or South Carolina. And when he says that about Channing Tindall and Quay Walker there, that it's not just about getting these guys ready for day one. It's about maybe putting them in a position where they can flash in game five or game six, something along those lines. I think that's pretty good stuff there from Kirby Smart on that when he talked about these two linebackers. I also love this description of, you know, Tindall and Walker being guys who can run and hit. Obviously, that is that perfect prototype for a linebacker. You want that speed. You want that physicality. And, you know, for a lot of us, we thought we saw that from both these guys in high school. And it sounds like thus far, Kirby Smart has also thought that he's seen that from them on the practice field, which is good news for UGA. And, you know, Kirby does give you the addendum there of, now hold on, giving them too much praise too soon because they don't know what they're doing yet. But ultimately, and we're all, you know, somewhat aware of this, even if we don't always articulate it quite this way, the knowing what to do is going to come later on, but the level of talent that both these guys have apparently flashed, that's the kind of thing that you can't develop over the course of 3 or 4 years. You can learn how to play, but what you can't have is the innate sort of God-given ability to kind of go out there and get it done. And if you've got that already, which Tindall and Walker seem to have, that's a step in the right direction for a UGA and a reason, I believe, why Georgia fans are probably going to be excited about seeing these guys on the football field contributing that linebacking core here this season. A little more insight from Kirby Smart on this subject. He actually kind of gave an interesting description of how both Walker and Tindall are being used in practice right now. Maybe a little different than it was when it first started a couple of weeks ago. Maybe now putting them in a position where they can succeed, now that he sort of knows they may be ready to actually be on the football field. Once again, this is pretty candid from Kirby Smart and kind of a nice description of how his thought process operates as you're getting freshmen like this ready to play. Here's more from Kirby.
We wouldn't put those two guys in together You know, when you put them with a more experienced guy, they kind of complement each other. And early in camp, we made them go with each other because it forced them to talk. And now that we want to figure out who can play, we put them with the older partner to maybe make them relax a little bit, make some of the calls, and just see them play. And I think you're starting to see the results of that because they played a little better today, that they didn't have that pressure of everybody's counting on me for the call.
I think that's really interesting from Kirby Smart. And as you know, there is an obvious sort of backstory to this entire topic. Focusing on Channing Tindall and focusing on Quay Walker, two elite talents coming out of Columbia, South Carolina, and Cordial, Georgia, respectively. When you look it in on these guys, you have big expectations of what they might be because you know what Georgia had at linebacker a year ago. It had the 2017 Butkus Award winner, Roquan Smith, who was not just a great player, but put together one of the great highlight films that any Georgia player has probably ever done in certainly in recent memory. This was an unforgettable season for a Georgia linebacker. And I think it's only a natural tendency for some fans to wonder, okay, what's next? Who's going to be the next Roquan Smith? Kirby Smart's fielded that question a million times over the course of the offseason. Was very blunt about this coming up earlier in the summer. When you look at the 2018, there actually probably isn't a next Roquan Smith for this team this year, but it doesn't mean there won't be one eventually. Here's interesting stuff from Kirby Smart on replacing Roquan Smith, which is incredibly relevant when you talk about Channing Tindall and Quay Walker. More from Kirby.
I think the identity is created by the people in the room. He's obviously not in the room. But I try not to look at plays because you can't live in the past. I mean, there's a bunch of plays out there that he'd have made that nobody's made because there's nobody that's Roquan. They're different. You know what I mean? So we're not going to have a guy that's a first-round pick at inside backer. That's just not going to happen for us this year. But we got a lot of other guys around him that are experienced. So we're not really dwelling in what Roquan would have done on that play. We can't live in that world.
So I think it's really interesting from Kirby Smart, and there are two words in that entire clip that stand out to me more so than the rest. He says, we're not going to have a first-round draft pick at inside linebacker this year. And I think that's an important caveat for this, that when you want to think about the biggest impact for Georgia in the linebacking corps for this season, it probably is veterans, guys that have been there for a while, either guys who've been there, you know, like Tay Crowder, who may be in the mix here, Juwan Taylor, who seems to be kind of in the conversation a bit right now, Monty Rice, who I think I have high expectations for. You know, if you're looking for contributions for this year's team, not the Roquan Smith level, but at an acceptable level for Georgia, it's probably names like the one that I just mentioned. But the pathway towards being a first-round pick eventually, which Channing Tindall and Quay Walker both might accomplish before their Georgia career is done, that pathway starts right now. I mean, go back and look at Roquan Smith when he was a freshman at UGA. At that point in time, you know, he wasn't making the same kind of impact in 2015 that he made in his final season at Georgia in 2017. But you don't get Roquan Smith in 2017 unless it starts in 2015, and that's what Kirby Smart's working on right now, apparently, with both Tindall and Walker setting the foundation that could lead to great success in the future. Now, what was fun for me, and frankly one of the most fun moments I've had as the host here of a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza, is to talk to Roquan Smith about this very subject. He joined us back in March before Dog Nation Appreciation. I sort of asked him, hey, for these linebackers like Channing Tindall, like Quay Walker, who do aspire to be the next Roquan Smith, which is a heck of a lot to live up to, what would your advice be to them towards doing that? Well, think about the compliments that Kirby Smart just gave Channing Tindall and Quay Walker. Still big shoes to fill when it comes to Roquan Smith for both those guys over the next 3 years. But here's how Roquan Smith says guys like this should go about trying to fulfill the legacy that he leaves behind at Georgia. Here's Roquan.
The only thing I would say is just try your best in everything that you do. Don't take anything for granted, and, you know, take advantage of every opportunity, because not the next one is never promised, and you never know what's in store for you. So just always make the best of everything. Don't take anything lightly. Learn everything you can while you can.
Take advantage of every opportunity, Roquan Smith says. And it sounds like right now Channing Tindall and Quay Walker have been given an opportunity. Kirby Smart noticing the effort they're putting forth to practice, maybe looking to find a role for them at some point in time during their freshman season at UGA. Roquan says step up and take advantage of that. My guess is Channing Tindall and Quay Walker are listening closely and are doing exactly that if they get a chance to play here this season. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Thanks for being with us live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, Dog Nation YouTube, and the Dog Nation Twitter feed, on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We love being on the radio there in the Classic City. In podcast form, Apple Podcasts, the Google Podcast player for the Android devices, SoundCloud, the world-famous DogNation.com. Thanks so much for being with Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza here today. And thank you to Marco's Pizza for making it all possible. And I continue to hear from so many of you on social media who've shown your support for Marco's Pizza. I really appreciate that. That is an incredibly nice gesture on your part, because obviously us delivering this show to you every day is made possible because so many of you allow Marco's Pizza to deliver pizza to you, and not just any pizza, authentic Italian quality pizza. And right now, you can get a great everyday offer. No special promo code to remember, no coupon to clip. This is just the everyday offer and everyday value from Marco's, two medium, two topping pizzas for just $6.99 each. It's every store every day the Italian way. You can get it at Marco's.com. Take advantage of that. Of course, we love Marco's Pizza around my house and around the Dog Nation World Headquarters studios. We're just really, really proud to have Marco's Pizza part of a Dog Nation Daily each and every day. Later on, it's Jeff Sintel. That's about, 4 minutes from right now. We'll talk to Jeff Sintel. A lot of recruiting stuff to get into with Jeff. It was the debut of the 2018 high school football season around the South a bit on the weekend, at least a lot of the teams playing. Jeff's got some interesting insight on some of what he saw this weekend. We'll get that from Jeff. Also, could we be on the doorstep of a major announcement from a 2020 recruit? Jeff will tell you more about that coming up in a minute as well. I've also, as promised, coming up in just a minute or two, I've got a pretty big announcement for how Dog Nation season kickoff this Thursday at the Kroger and Cummings is going to get bigger and better. I'll tell you about that. Before that, though, let me do more on the scrimmage from Saturday. And I mentioned this to Chip Towers yesterday, that I find it to be interesting, and maybe I'm reading too much into this. I'm guilty of that from time to time. But I find it to be interesting that when Kirby Smart talks about his quarterback so far this summer, it seems that these guys become lumped together in every comment. When it's for the good, hey, both these guys did this, both these guys did that. Two Saturdays ago, it was both these guys had command and control of the huddle, not separating from Fields, but sort of lumping them together with compliments. On Saturday, maybe an example of that for the negative, apparently Kirby Smart a little unhappy, a little dissatisfied with what he saw, once again, from both his quarterbacks, Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. And Kirby goes into a little bit of detail about what it was he was hoping to see and what it was that he did not see from his two highly regarded quarterbacks. Here's Kirby once again from Saturday.
I was not real pleased with either guy. I think either one of the guys played exceptionally well today. And maybe we put too much on them. Maybe we asked too much of them today because we didn't go out there and 3 yards cloud of dust. You know, we said, let's open it up a little bit. Let's throw it around a little bit and see how we do. And I didn't think that was great. Up to this point in camp, they've both been really competitive, good leaders. They both have good charisma. Huddle communication's been good. On the field's been good. And that part's been pleasing for both of them.
One of the things I get criticized for, and a lot of media people get criticized for from time to time, is, hey, you never played the game. You don't know what it's like to be on a college football field. And that's certainly true. But I did play enough athletics in high school and growing up to know this, that when the defense knows what's coming, they're going to step up and play that play. In fact, it was one of the great arguments that got retold to us at a Dog Nation Appreciation from Sony Michel and Davin Bellamy, the arguments they used to get in when Sony felt like the Georgia defense was playing the play they were running during practice there that day. It's just a natural tendency. And Kirby Smart did talk a lot on Saturday when he met with the media about how they weren't trying to run the football very much. He said so much that it made evaluating the running game actually a little difficult to do because they were throwing the ball so much. Once the defense gets wind of that, they're going to be trying to jump routes and trying to do some of that kind of stuff. I won't pretend to know if that's why Kirby was left with maybe wanting a little bit more from both his quarterbacks, but I do think when a scrimmage is more imbalanced towards the pass than it would be in a regular game, I do think that has to factor into this. But once again, I do find it kind of interesting that that Fromm and Field sort of lumped together here in terms of the evaluation from Kirby Smart. A little different take on that, though, from Chip Towers on yesterday's program. I will invite you to go back and listen to Monday's episode of Dog Nation Daily if you missed it, because Chip really made no bones about the fact that right now, based on what he's hearing around Georgia practice, that this is Jake Fromm's team, that at least in the early going, this competition is going to be won by Jake Fromm. Doesn't mean we won't see a role for Justin Fields, but in terms of competing for the starting job, it sounds like Chip Towers believes that Jake Fromm's already got that wrapped up. You can hear that on Monday's episode of Dog Nation Daily. All right, before I bring on Jeff Sintel, let me talk to you a little bit about what's going to happen this Thursday. It's August 23rd. That's this Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. If you're in the Atlanta area, or if you can be in the Atlanta area for Thursday night, we'd love to have you come by and see us at the brand new Kroger Marketplace on Bethel View Road in Kroger. That's 5550 Bethel View Road in Kroger. We're going to be there from 6 to 8 p.m. It's our Dog Nation season kickoff. It's one of the biggest events that we do around here. We've done it now. This will be our fourth. Is that right? Maybe it's our third. Maybe it's our third. Our third. No, it would be our fourth. Our fourth Dog Nation season kickoff. It's going to be really, really fun. Really, really excited about it. Let me tell you two ways in which this has gotten even bigger since we first made the announcement. I can now tell you that Chip Towers and Mike Griffith are both going to be on hand as well. So that special off-air conversation, that Q&A where we sort of talk about stuff that's maybe not fit for print or not fit for broadcast on a Dog Nation Daily. Both Mike Griffith and Chip Towers will be a part of that. You get a chance to say hello to them on a Thursday night. And we've told you T-shirt giveaway. What I can now confirm is, and I sort of flirted this as a trial balloon the other day, some of the very popular Dog Nation Retaliation T-shirts that many of you have been saying, how can I get my hands on? We're going to give away some of these Dog Nation Retaliation T-shirts this Thursday for our Dog Nation season kickoff. So please make plans to be there. If you want a free T-shirt, that's a great chance to get one. We'd love to see you this Thursday at Kroger Incoming on Bethelview Road starting at 6 p.m. A lot of fun. And speaking of fun, let's have some fun right now with Jeff Sintel. It's our Marlowe's Tavern Tell All. Good to have you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
I love Tuesdays because it means the Marlowe's Tavern Tell All right here on a Dog Nation Daily. That means recruiting talk with Jeff Sintel. And Jeff, the 2020 class seems to be a big topic of conversation. We'll obviously do a lot of that over the course of our time here together today. And we certainly appreciate your time. Hope you're doing well today.
Hey, Brandon, man, I'm great. Hope everybody out in Dog Nation land are doing splendid today. And hey, new feature alert, we just dropped a Cover 4. That's our first installment of one of those, and you get to find out who Big Bad Brandon Adams thinks will be Georgia's most improved player for 2018.
Ooh, is that the topic for today on DogNation.com? We should explain to people what this is. Jeff had a great content idea. It's basically Jeff, me, Mike, and Chip all kind of weighing in very short on a topic of interest. And today we're talking about most improved player. Is that what it is, Jeff?
Yeah, it is. I think the culture of improvement, practices, August grinds are really important right now. So with that kind of tone across every football team in the land, I thought a staff opinion maybe about four takes about who we all think will be the most improved Georgia Bulldog for 2018. And lo and behold, variance is a great thing. We came up with four different examples.
That's really fun to read, Jeff. I know people will love seeing that at Dog Nation. I was looking at the Dog Nation forum the other day. I guess this would have been yesterday. And there was a topic that came up, and you dropped kind of an interesting piece of information in there talking about Justin Rogers, the elite 2020 offensive lineman from Michigan who Georgia sort of battled Ohio State over. I know Rogers also had kind of a provocative tweet where he seemed to tease his own commitment announcement coming soon, and it sounds like you think that could come sooner rather than later here. This is a guy that you wrote about the other day. He certainly had very glowing things to say about UGA. What is kind of the latest here between Georgia's relationship with this very impressive interior offensive lineman for the 2020 class?
Yeah, Brandon, let me just kind of go at this kind of the way we should here. Maybe one day we'll have a camera filming you in the studio, so maybe we can see your jaw drop on certain points. But I'm going to say the following with a dollop of caution here. Look back to the 2019 class. A lot of people thought that this would be the granddaddy of them all for Georgia signing classes so far into Kirby Smart. Well, there's been some different evaluations, some 2019 in-state prospects kind of flattened out and didn't kind of get better every day in that kind of culture of constant improvement. But I'm going to start my thoughts on 2020 with this. There's the consideration for 2020 if these players remain on their current cycles of improvement and growth. I do feel that this one, the 2020 class, will be the one when everybody's sitting around the tailgate in 2024 or whatever. I think that will be the one everyone really talks about. And I know that that's a really weighty topic considering Georgia just signed 7 5-stars in 2018. But I'm talking about receivers, quarterback, running back, chiefly offensive and defensive lines. Look in the state of Georgia for 2020, no less. There's already 5 5-stars for Georgia in the state of Georgia in the class of 2020. Justin Rogers out of Michigan is an out-of-state 5-star, the nation's number one offensive guard for 2020. He's been at Georgia several times. It was interesting how we were able to kind of open up the door a little bit on his recruiting over the last 3 or 4 months. I think most of the industry has pointed towards him favoring Ohio State. When I spoke to him after the reveal, which was a great trip for Justin Rogers at the reveal, he stated that Georgia is his leader over Ohio State, and it's basically been that way for a matter of months, kind of after his trip to Athens, Georgia for G-Day. And now the tweet is another breadcrumb on his recruiting trail, I might add, and he does feel like that commitment is coming soon. And, Brandon, there's some speculation about, is he talking about an All-American game? Is he talking about a commitment to his school? Is he talking about swearing off peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? I think that his commitment to a football program is what he is talking about there.
And we also have to be clear, too. We've seen some of these guys announce commitments to high schools recently. We got to make sure that's not that, too, for Justin Rogers, right?
Yeah, I mean, anything can happen these days. I mean, I know it would be kind of the 17, 18-year-old move for someone to say commitment coming soon, and then they make a commitment to play a five technique in the team's new front or whatever. But I think this is a case here where Justin Rogers seems to be aligning himself towards a certain program with still a lot of time to go in his recruiting decision.
I want to talk to you about that some more and kind of follow up on that. Before I do, let me remind folks that if you want to become a Marlowe's insider, and that's the best way to find out about all the things going on at the Marlowe's closest to you, simply text the word Marlowe's, that's M-A-R-L-O-W-S, no apostrophe for this, to the number 24242. You can become a Marlowe's insider. Special offers like the free burger they gave out on the 4th of July, or special events like the ones the Dog Nation is going to be doing coming up this football season. You can find out about all of that by becoming a Marlowe's insider. Text the word Marlowe's to M-A-R-L-O-W-S. To follow up on Justin Rogers, Jeff, here for a moment, if he were to eventually commit to Georgia, whenever it would happen, in a roundabout way, this is one of the most amazing recruiting wins I think Georgia would have been able to get. Sam Pittman in particular here, who's had such great success with offensive linemen. If Rogers comes, this is Georgia kind of crossing a frontier into a region of the country that, frankly, about the only thing the Midwest may do better than the Southeast when it comes to producing football players might be offensive linemen. To say that now Georgia got that pipeline into Ohio State territory to pull offensive linemen that are geographically closer to Columbus than they are to Athens, Georgia. Jeff, in a way, that would be one of the most amazing pulls that Sam Pittman's provided if Justin Rogers were to eventually commit to Georgia. Do you agree with that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess the only thing left for that man is for him to pull and Eskimo out of Alaska, or maybe a wide receiver prospect out of Brazil who's 6'8" and runs a 4.3. I mean, that's the only landmarks left. I mean, Brandon, maybe we need to get you in that little cozy Dog Nation studio, one of those maps that people travel around and you can put pins on where, you know, most people use it. You can put pins on where they've been, but maybe you could put pins where Georgia has pulled a 5-star from an unlikely spot out of. And I mean, you start looking at New York, you start looking at North Carolina, you start looking at Pennsylvania, you start looking at Louisiana. Justin Rogers would be Michigan. Luke Ford wasn't a 5-star out of Illinois, but that was an interesting pull nonetheless. They're starting to mark off territories, kind of like Lewis and Clark in the westward expansion.
Yeah, you know, I grew up, Jeff, with Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. You know, maybe we can get like an a cappella group to sing in here. We can put the map up here. We can sort of chart Del McGee in Louisiana, Sam Pittman in Michigan. I like the idea of sort of putting the push pins there on the map for that. You know, we can learn a little geography while we celebrate Georgia football here.
Yeah, don't forget, there's a potential 5-star in Maryland in Brian Brzee.
That's true.
You keep going up and down the list, and there's 5-stars in Texas. There's 5-stars in Florida. You know, 5-star in Alabama, that might be the most impressive one, and that's just a border state. And that, to me, pulling a 5-star out of Alabama that Auburn and Alabama want, to me, seems like even more of those plates on the bar than pulling a 5-star out of the state of Michigan.
Yeah, at that point in time, you're sort of to the bald bull level in Mike Tyson's punch out, I guess. You're sort of getting to Tyson himself at that level of the game once you start pulling that from from the state of Alabama. All right, you mentioned a moment ago the 2020 class looking pretty impressive around the state of Georgia, and one of the names that you are one of the positions that you mentioned contributing to that here as a part of our Marlow's Tavern tell-all was defensive line. In particular, one of the names that comes to mind for me on this is Miles Murphy, a guy that you had a chance to see as a part of the Corky Kell Classic here this weekend, talking a lot about kind of what he brings to the table here. And this is a unique skill set, and it seems like, based on your reporting, this skill set has been definitely noticed by the University of Georgia here, right?
Yeah, Brandon, I try to have fun with Monday's blog, where maybe I've been watching too many Quentin Tarantino movies lately, but I had a reference to a line from the Leonardo DiCaprio, Jamie Foxx movie, Django Unchained, where it was sort of like Miles Murphy, and he was a five-star, and he already had Georgia's curiosity, but now you wonder, how in the world can a five-star defensive line prospect from Marietta impress the Bulldogs even further? Well, Mr. Murphy got Georgia's, I guess, undivided attention when he went to camp this summer, and he clocked a 4.6 at 255 pounds in the 40, and Georgia's wheels started spinning a little bit there, and they thought, okay, maybe he's not a three technique or a four technique anymore. Maybe he's that outside linebacker Jack in the Britton Cox mode. And that's what Georgia really learned from that Auburn game. The recruits, especially Britton Cox, started hearing that after the Auburn loss last year, where Georgia needed an athletic guy that can affect the quarterback on every down, but at the same time have a big enough body to kind of surf through all the bodies and hold up in the run game in the mighty SEC as well. And Miles Murphy, when you're clocking 4.6s, that attracts attention. And one other note that I thought was very interesting, Trey Scott is this position recruiter, but his area recruiter would be Wondell McGee, the widely respected running back coach for the University of Georgia. And to flesh out my final Quentin Tarantino reference of the day, that would probably be referred to as the Wolf of the Georgia recruiting staff in the very least.
Well, speaking of Dale McGee, it sounds like McGee's got another battle on his hand, although I guess he's probably the point spread favorite to win it. I saw where you had a note in one of your recent Sentel intels from my buddy Sam Spiegelman on the LSU recruiting scene that it sounds like LSU has sort of turned up the heat a bit on John Emery Jr., the five-star running back who's now committed to Georgia. It seems like post-commitment, LSU sort of decided to get more involved here. I don't know why in the world they would have waited until now to kind of put their full-court press on, but it sounds like, according to Sam, that's what they're doing. Any reason for Georgia fans to be concerned here?
Well, I would say that's a curious decision to start recruiting five stars in your backyard when they already commit to another SEC school. That is a very, very curious decision. It would be like Georgia waiting on Miles Murphy to commit somewhere and then sending Dell McGee out after him.
Or waiting on Deshaun Watson until it was too late, too, I guess is a fair comparison there, too, Jeff, if you don't mind me saying.
Fair comparison. I would agree with that. But that was a different time for Georgia football and Georgia recruiting. And I think Emery's comments to the new rival site, one of our good friends, former Cox Media Group colleague Sam Spiegelman, was basically locked into Georgia right now, not really sure about whether he's going to take officials or not. LSU has turned up the volume a little bit there on his recruiting, which, again, I find very interesting. And I'm going to just call that, again, a curious decision. I think, Brandon, that's a nice way in the world when you call a decision a curious decision. It's kind of like, what in the blue blazes were they thinking type of comment right there. But I would say this. The family, the fit, everything around Georgia is still great for John Emery Jr. And he says right now he's locked into Georgia at this time.
It's our Marlow's Tavern tell-all with Jeff Sintel here on Dog Nation Daily, and we're doing something great at Marlow's tomorrow. I can't really tell you about this yet because it's not a public thing, but you'll see some of this coming up in the future. I think it's going to be really fun. For now, though, what you do need to know about Marlow's is you can find out about big events or special offers by becoming a Marlow's Insider. Text the word Marlow's, M-A-R-L-O-W-S, to 24242. You can become a Marlow's Insider today. Jeff and I are huge fans of Marlow's, of course. And, of course, Jeff, when you talk about fandom, Georgia fans love the two wide receiver commits for the class of 2019, Dominic Blaylock, Jaden Hazelwood, among, you know, some of the most popular guys when it comes to recent Georgia signees or current Georgia commits. And we sort of saw flashes from both these guys this weekend. Blaylock had the three touchdowns in the high-profile game at the Mercedes-Benz Dome. Over the weekend, Jaden Hazelwood had the cool highlight against T.L. Hanna in kind of an impressive debut for his senior season there. And I know there was a post at the forum at forum.dognation.com about how these two guys compare to each other. Obviously, Hazelwood gets the most attention, and I've told you privately that Hazelwood's the UGA recruit that I've probably been the most excited about in the last couple of years, really at any possible position. But when you compare Hazelwood to Blaylock, is it fair to say we don't talk enough about Dominic Blaylock?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the nature of things, Brandon. I mean, maybe we need to have an obligatory five-star commit appreciation thread or moment in our show every 2 weeks so we just remind you. Maybe you can flash some pictures of, by the way, let's have a moment of silence for Georgia's two five-star, a moment of appreciation maybe for Georgia's two five-star receiver commitments, because it's one of those things where a commitment in hand is now, you know, it should be worth two in the bush, but maybe two. Everybody puts the focus now on the next one and the next recruit. I'm going to tell you what, that was very fitting for A.J. Green to go to the stadium, the football program where A.J. Green starred in Somerville High School in South Carolina. And Jaden Hazelwood, where you hear a lot of player parallels and a lot of Georgia faithful hope that he can play like A.J. Green for the Bulldogs one day. He went to Somerville, South Carolina, and produced some of the finest highlights of his high school career. I think we tweeted out a video that, I guess, fit the definition of viral. We tweeted out video late Saturday night of one of his touchdowns where he catches a simple kind of stop route and then basically breaks tackles like it's Little Giants or something like that, part two. And he goes in the end zone, and I think that thing accumulated 40,000 page views or 40,000 views on Twitter quite rapidly.
All right, let me finish up with this, Jeff. A couple questions about current Georgia Bulldogs that you covered very closely over the last couple of years. We haven't talked publicly about the Zamir White injury that goes down on Saturday. I know you're close to the White family. Any thoughts about White personally here and also about, you know, how Georgia sort of bounces back from this with the running back depth that it has remaining now that we won't get to see Zamir White here in 2018?
Yeah, I think that's it's one of those, if you know that family, you know the circumstances, you know what he is, I guess the community and the upbringing and what he has ran toward with his college football career, and you just scratch your head and you just think sometimes the world just doesn't spin the way it should. I think Zamir White has tremendous God-given gifts, and I think this is a moment again for him to stop, assess, and realize that he's still quite blessed in this life. This is a chance for him to, whatever mental barriers might exist with the old me, whatever great start he can get on producing his education, I think this is a very telling maturity point for Zamir, where he can realize that, yes, he has the ability to become one of the very best backs in college football, but that football and that carrying that football can only last so long. And I think it is a very important point for a lot of recruits. No matter how high they are, no matter how lofty everyone is talking about them, there are some humbling moments that come with the game of football. Injuries happen. It is a physical sport, except in the NFL, I guess. And these things are part of the game. And, you know, I feel Zamir is still going to be a very special back for the University of Georgia. He just won't hit the field now until 2019.
Yeah, that's well said, Jeff. We appreciate that. Let me do one final thing here. And I started the show with this today, Jeff. And listen, I'm going to take the bait on this kind of thing every time. Kirby Smart on Saturday is talking about Quay Walker and Channing Tindall being freshman linebackers who can run and hit. And he's seen them flash a little bit like during UGA practice. A guy like me, Jeff, as you know, can't help but be sort of intrigued by that and start to wonder what they may look like in glimpses this year, in larger roles, maybe in 2019 and 2020. You know Walker well. You know Tindall well. What do you think about both what Kirby Smart had to say on Saturday and also just the overall role that you think these guys will eventually fill at UGA at that linebacker spot, which was obviously made famous by Roquan Smith a year ago?
Yeah, you mentioned Roquan. That's the name that kind of goes through my mind a little bit. Just Maybe fire up the vault. Maybe fire up some of your DVR highlights of Georgia football and try to watch what Roquan looked like in his first year on campus. Remember, he didn't grab an immediate starting spot. Special teams used for him as well. And even maybe the beginning of his sophomore year, maybe that North Carolina game. I think those are the arc that these young players can get to early on in their Georgia career. Channing Kendall is a very intelligent young man. They are fast. They are very fast. And I tell you what, Brandon, every college coach in the country would rather look at those two gentlemen and say, you know what, I just got to coach them up. We just got to get them ready so they can play fast. They would take that challenge because those two guys can do things not very many linebackers in college football can do.
All right, before I let you go, are we allowed to talk about what we're doing tonight, Jeff?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's all good, Brandon. You can spill the beans on that one, sir.
So you and I are going to be in Augusta tonight for the Bulldog Club meeting there. I think former UGA great Matt Stinchcomb also going to be on hand as well. This is going to be a fun time to hang out with some UGA fans. So any Georgia fans there at the Georgia border there on the east side, we'd love to have you come see us in Augusta tonight, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the annual Augusta Bulldog Club meeting. I mean, that's the cradle of a lot of great Georgia fans and players. I think Garrison Hurst was honored last year. Matt Stinchcomb is going to be honored this year. We're going to come out there. We're going to hang out, have a good time. Augusta was one of my early stomping grounds as a Cub reporter, and I always do like getting back to the CSRA. So if you guys are anywhere near Washington Road tonight, come out, hang around some Dog Nation people, hang around Brandon Adams, and we'll talk about Georgia football a little bit, and it'll be a good time.
Yeah, let me just tell you, I've been with Jeff in Augusta before. He is treated like a modern-day Bobby Jones when he's walking around there in Augusta. So it's always kind of nice to even be within, a wingman for Jeff on a trip like that. But we are looking forward to that. And, of course, Jeff, we appreciate you being a part of our Marlowe's Tavern. Tell all one more time before we let you go. I'll remind folks, become a Marlowe's Insider. Find out when Dog Nation is going to be at Marlowe's again. Text the word Marlowe's, M-A-R-L-O-W-S, to 24242 today. Jeff, we appreciate the intel and the so-called tell-all here as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all. We'll see you tonight in Augusta and see you soon here on Dog Nation Daily as well.
All right, guys. Have yourself a good week.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, really fun from Jeff Sintel here, and looking forward to being at the Augusta Bulldog Club tonight. I always like stuff like this. These Bulldog Club meetings are always kind of a really nice reminder that you're getting very close to the start of the season. I love to see a room filled with red and black, and it'll be a great time to do that in Augusta here this evening. Really, really looking forward to that. Let me shift gears here away from Georgia for a brief moment, do our SEC through with some news around the SEC. It also includes Georgia, I guess, a bit here as well. AP preseason poll comes out yesterday. There are a number of teams from the SEC in there. Let me also correct myself on my graphic. I typed this wrong this morning. Georgia's actually number 3 in the AP poll, preseason poll, but there are 5 SEC teams that do make the preseason poll here. In fact, let me show you these 5 teams here from the SEC that do make the preseason poll. Alabama does come in at number 1 here. Georgia comes in at number 3. Auburn at number 9. So you get the 3 SEC teams there in the top 10. Mississippi State comes in at 18. And LSU sort of just makes the top 25 there at number 25. And on LSU here for a moment, it really does, even on the heels of the scrimmage for LSU maybe not being that impressive for Joe Burrow over the weekend, the closer you get to that October road game in LSU, the more I do think this is a tough one for Georgia. I think it's arguably the toughest game on the entire schedule. I don't know what LSU's record overall is going to be. They begin the year in pretty difficult fashion. Miami, then Auburn, before you even get to the game against Georgia there in Baton Rouge. But the preseason ranking for LSU, another reminder that expectations are going into Death Valley will be a bit of a challenge there for UGA. I've told you before, I don't have a dog in this fight, but I am not as impressed with Mississippi State as some of the poll voters are. I am not going to buy a whole bunch of stock in a first-year coach like Joe Moorhead in a league like the SEC. Even for a guy like Kirby Smart, who looks like one of the nation's best coaches now, after one season, there was arguably room to doubt Kirby Smart. I think the first-year coaches just face a very difficult job in this league, and I don't think that Joe Moorhead's any better position to do that than Kirby Smart was in 2016. I like the Mississippi State defensive line. I like Fitzgerald at least enough, I guess, but this is not a top 25 team there in my book. Alabama seems about right for right now, although I think that Georgia may have something to say about that before the year's done. Auburn is a top 10 team, I think, is a correct decision. The big miss here, though, for the AP poll, and I think the coaches poll is much the same way, not having South Carolina ranked in the preseason poll, I think it's a huge mistake. And if you look in that sort of category of others receiving votes, you know, South Carolina is essentially lumped in the same category with a team like Florida. Now, I realize that my credibility on subjects like this is totally shot. I've talked about being a Gator hater so much that now people think that, you know, I can't see clearly when it comes to Florida. But on this point, I believe I am 100% level-headed. Florida this season is not going to be any good. And South Carolina, I believe, even though the overall, you know, from a recruiting standpoint, the composite talent level may not be quite as high as it is for Florida, in key spots, South Carolina is just better. Way better at quarterback. With all due respect to Florida's wide receivers, including Van Jefferson, who just became eligible on the transfer from Ole Miss, the South Carolina wide receivers with Brian Edwards and Deebo Samuel are better. I know they have to replace Hayden Hurst, but, you know, from a preseason standpoint, not to be a top 25 team, I think it's a big miss for both the reporters who vote in the AP poll, the coaches who vote in the coaches poll. I'm not telling you that South Carolina is a threat in the East. I don't believe they are. But I do believe they're head and shoulders over every other team in this division beyond Georgia. And that's probably worth being in the top 25. Gamecocks fans probably upset about this ranking. I think they probably should be. Other news here. Speaking of the SEC East, how about Georgia rival Tennessee, who made kind of an interesting decision here recently. Jeremy Pruitt has brought on Shelton Felton as an analyst. Felton is a name you may remember, the former head coach at Crisp County. Now, Felton is also a bit of a controversial figure in some Georgia circles because there was the rumor back when Markavius Big Cat Bryant signed with Auburn that Felton was going to join the Auburn staff in that same year. And it was sort of positioned as Auburn pulling out all the stops to bring in Bryant. They're even going to hire the high school coach to get that done. You know, listen, I love sort of, you know, poking at Auburn as much as anybody does. I think at the time, though, there was maybe a bit of a mischaracterization about Felton here. Felton, seemingly by a number of staffs, has been considered to be a college coaching prospect. And just because you have a connection to whether it be Quay Walker last year or Markavius Bryant this year or, you know, 2 years ago, maybe even Jamie Robinson at a certain point, although Robinson just transferred to Lee County. When you've got those connections, that doesn't disqualify you from also being a coaching prospect. I believe that Felton has been most recently at UT Chattanooga, so he's been in the college game now for a minute. But this is a guy that's probably a bit of a prospect. He's probably going to be a good recruiter. I'm sure he'll lean on his high school ties to do that. But I sort of view this as a shrewd move by Pruitt as opposed to anything sort of controversial or hey, what's going on here? I think that Pruitt is using that analyst role the way that smart coaches do, which is to put prospects on there who may have future roles in the coaching industry, and I think Jeremy Pruitt's doing that right there. A couple other quick notes. Let me do these quickly. I saw where Alabama, in addition to the sort of participating in this ESPN sort of all-access series, is also now doing a documentary with CBS celebrating its national championship game. Man, the media availability that Alabama sort of acquiesced to here really speaks to a program that's sort of worried about how it's perceived on the heels of not being number one in recruiting for 2018. You are seeing a lot of the Crimson Tide on TV lately. I do not believe that is a coincidence. Also, one final story, and I'll do this kind of quick. I think it's kind of funny. I saw this on Twitter. Some guy was talking about what Dan Mullen had said about his quarterbacks, how they graded. Of course, we know that Florida's looking for a quarterback right now. You'll be happy to note that according to Dan Mullen, most recently they sort of graded a champion status for how they performed during practice, more than a few people noting that kind of a reminder of Butch Jones' champion of life statement from a couple of years ago. Mullen does seem to be veering in that territory a bit, which for Florida fans will not be good news. We'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, one of the things we've been doing now every day for the last few days, speaking of Florida and Tennessee, those teams in the SEC East, how Georgia will own the East here again this season. It's presented by Georgia's own credit union. The next guy to help Georgia get that done is wide receiver Terry Godwin. Let's find out more about him right now.
Georgia's own credit union presents Own the East, and a look at the names to know as Georgia tries to get back on top of the division once again for 2018. Hello, everybody. I'm Brandon Adams. Along with Dog Nation's Chip Towers, let's take a look at Georgia wide receiver Terry Godwin, A guy that in 2016 may have spent some time in Kirby Smart's doghouse, but made a big name for himself in 2017 and could be the go-to target for Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm here in 2018.
Yeah, I would say he probably will be, certainly out of the box. Lil T, as they call him down there in LaGrange. Not so little anymore. He's a lot bigger, certainly, than he was when he came here as a freshman, and he's certainly bigger on the national scene and in the SEC. Everybody remembers the unbelievable catch he made against Notre Dame, which actually was won national awards for catch of the year, and was really incredible. He does that by routine, according to everybody on the team, in practice all the time. Unbelievable hands. In fact, he probably doesn't get the credit that he should. Pro Football Focus recognized him as having the highest QBR for a returning receiver in America this year. That means that when he was targeted, good things usually happen. Started with one, he caught it. Two, there's usually a first down, or three, he scored with the football. You know, people wonder where, if Georgia has a go-to receiver, I think they have one in Terry Godwin.
In addition to being a go-to receiver, the other thing that Godwin's been praised for by Kirby Smart's being a leader. Smart has described Godwin as having been instrumental in the transition from Mecole Hardman at the wide receiver position, and as Georgia gets a few more receivers worked into the fold for 2018, my guess is they're leaning on Godwin once again to get a little tutoring here.
Well, they are, and you know, you got to think about it. I mean, by personality, Terry Godwin has always been a quiet guy who let his actions speak for themselves, and they certainly have. But Kirby Smart wants him to be more outspoken, and you can really see that coming through him. And they need him to. That's a big wide receiver core. Even though it's not a who's who in wide receivers right now, Georgia has been recruiting hard at that position and needs a lot of guys to come through, and they're looking to Terry Godwin and Mecole Hardman to some degree to lead that group.
Godwin and Hardman, both former five-star prospects coming out of high school, a part of a wide receiver core that could help Georgia own the East here this season.
Own the East is brought to you by Georgia's Own Credit Union and Georgia's Own Visa Signature Card, which gives 1.25 points for each dollar charged and can be redeemed for cash back, gift cards, travel, merchandise, and more. Check out georgiazone.org for more details.
Of course, Terry Godwin, one of those nagging injuries for Georgia. We know he's battled a bit of a knee injury since practice began, but when he is back 100% healthy, and I believe he will be, I'm sure by the start of the season, he will be that big-time contributor for Georgia in that wide receiver core this season. Not just a guy on the field, but also a guy whose leadership's been helpful off the field, tutoring Demetrius Robertson as he gets acclimated to the SEC and working a lot with Mecole Hardman before last season. That's a big part of who Terry Godwin is for Georgia and why he will help potentially Georgia own the East here in 2018. All right, as we get ready to wrap up here, before we do our Gator Hater Countdown, for those of you watching on video, you may have noticed I had put the wrong ranking for Georgia in the AP poll a moment ago, but how quickly Michael Carvel, our producers on the other side of the glass over here, had that changed to the right number right away. That's the crack staff we have working here on a Dog Nation Daily every single day, and I certainly appreciate that because, listen, it takes a village to keep me from looking like a fool either behind this microphone or behind these cameras each and every day, so we certainly appreciate that. And something else we appreciate around here, Gator haters. We think the good Georgia fans are Gator haters first and foremost, and we think that 67 days from right now, Georgia goes back to Jacksonville and beats those champions at quarterback and whatever else Florida throws at the Dogs. We think UGA will be ready for another victory against Florida. It's our Gator Hater Countdown right here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marcos Pizza. Also, wild ride for UGA recruiting and basketball. They get a couple top 100 commits yesterday, then one maybe backs off. Tom Crean doing work, but basketball recruiting's tough. We'll see you tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily.